You're listening to WAER News at WAER.org and NPR One. I'm Katie Zolkowski. Onondaga County, and especially Syracuse, continue to grapple with a serious and stubborn lead problem. The old housing stock, combined with high poverty levels and low home ownership rates, mean efforts to rid homes of lead paint have been painfully slow for decades. In part one of our story, WAER Scott Willis reports on how the crisis has impacted one Northside family.
Hi. Darlene Medley rents a house in the very back of a multi-dwelling lot on Pond Street in Syracuse.
Hi, Mr. Scottson.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Food cooks on the stove in the sparse kitchen as Medley tells me her and her twin sons moved here in late 2017 with help from the county and Catholic Charities. The crumbling foundation of the house she was renting on the south side made it unfit for habitation. About a year after moving into the Pond Street house, she was at a WIC appointment with her two-year-old boys, who were required to take a lead test. Results showed they both have low to moderate blood lead levels.
When I called the landlord and was telling him everything, I said, I didn't think that the lead was going to come from here because, again, you told me everything was brand new. My assumption was that it was going to come from my old place because it had been deemed unfit. So I was really shocked when they came and it was three pages of lead violations here.
In late February, Medley says she went to court and about two dozen other tenants were there. All were renting from the same landlord and all had lead problems that weren't being addressed.
They allowed this landlord to fail inspections three or four different times. But if I fail to pay my rent just one time and he can prove it properly, guess what? I get a 72-hour notice on my door. But he can fail a lead inspection, which is a health violation for children?
Medley says the landlord's contractors have done little to properly check for or clean up the lead. She says now the house supposedly passes. Medley says she's even taken it upon herself to paint the bathroom and kitchen. The concern lies with the long-term health impacts on children. Dr. Howard Weinberger has been a pediatrician at SUNY Upstate for 60 years and has been involved with the Lead Poisoning Resource Center for much of that time. He says in decades past, he saw many kids with very high levels to the point where they needed hospitalization. He says those who survived were left blind, prone to seizures, and severely developmentally delayed. Today, Weinberger says the impact is more subtle, but still concerning.
There are behavioral issues. Some children who have ADHD. There are clearly associations in adolescents and young adults of violent behavior associated with early childhood exposure to lead.
The State Department of Health has mandated that all children ages 1 and 2 be tested for lead exposure since the late 1970s, when lead was banned from paint. Despite progress, Weinberger says testing could be more robust.
Lots of kids slip through the cracks because lead exposure doesn't give you any overt symptoms really early on. To the parents and to the docs looking, you can't tell a child has a lead exposure unless you do a blood test. So it really is a critical part of the program, is selling the idea that all children at 1 and 2 should have a blood lead test.
At the same time, Weinberger says it's backwards. He likens it to the canary in the coal mine, where the children have been the canaries.
What we're doing really is testing the child instead of testing the house. And ideally, from a pediatrician's point of view, we'd want to have primary prevention. Check the house before you move in there. And if the home is potentially at risk for lead exposure, remediate that before the child is ever exposed in the first place.
That likely would have prevented Darlene Medley's twins from ingesting lead chips and dust. Their levels put them in the top 2% of the roughly 11% of Syracuse children with elevated blood lead levels. They also live in a census tract where about one quarter of the children tested have lead in their system. Medley isn't sure what to do.
I feel like I'm stuck. Like, I don't have any other choice. Either we become homeless, go stay in the shelter until we can find someplace else better, or we stay here until we can find someplace better. And that's really not fair.
So the lead problem in Syracuse can seem daunting and difficult to solve. As we've heard, lead paint is still present in older homes despite decades of remediation, and children continue to test positive for elevated blood lead levels, though the number has gone down over the years. Now a series of collaborative efforts aims to help families and landlords. The lead problem is certainly on the minds of Syracuse Mayor Ben Walsh and Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon.
One of the leading causes of health and housing concerns in Syracuse is lead. Especially found in old housing stock, lead is poisoning our children and families every day and contributing to the cycle of poverty.
Our community has rallied around this issue, and we have seen new partnerships with Green and Healthy Homes and the Community Foundation investing significant resources.
It's a $2 million investment over 4 years that also includes several other partners. CNYCF Vice President of Community Investment Frank Ridzi says their focus has shifted from remediating owner-occupied homes to rental properties, where the majority of Syracuse residents live.
This involves reaching out to landlords, a different population. Organizations are now working through their networks to reach out and find those landlords who would be open to replacing windows, replacing doors, and taking those precautions that will help ensure that their property is a safer property and that their tenants are protected.
Ridzi says to maximize the impact, the Community Foundation's efforts will complement a $4.1 million federal grant just awarded to the city. But that increased opportunity might not translate to action. Lead remediation programs and even testing are largely voluntary. The city and county are looking to change that. Onondaga County Legislator Tom Buckle recently introduced a measure aimed at holding landlords more accountable for lead in their properties.
This proposed legislation, it came from another jurisdiction, and before I offered it to the executive branch for comment, I wanted to at least open it to this committee for discussion.
But the issue can get complicated. Legislator and registered nurse Peggy Chase says some tenants might feel trapped.
If people think they are at risk, a lot of them are unwilling to get into that conversation because they don't want to take a chance on being a bad tenant and getting thrown out.
Meanwhile, the city of Syracuse is looking to bolster its legislation. Frank Ridzi with the Community Foundation says government policies are key.
The rental registry was a key component to make sure that people had their apartments inspected. Another component to that was policy that allows for internal inspections. And there's some policy in the works which would allow for a much more robust inside inspection.
Ridzi says it's not a violation to have lead paint, but chipping or peeling paint might eventually be. All of this aims to fix a lead problem that we've been hearing about for decades. Legislator Peggy Chase says it's overwhelming.
It's not an issue that has gone unseen in this community. I guess I just don't get why we aren't farther ahead with this.
And one of the things I keep talking about is lead fatigue. A lot of people say, oh no, here he is again, talking about lead.
Despite the seemingly slow progress, upstate pediatrician Dr. Howard Weinberger says lead in New York State is a public health success story.
Public health is a long-term approach to anything, whether it's immunizations or whether it's HIV.
Right.
So it takes a certain degree of consistency and optimism. There has to be a sense that, you know, you really believe that what you're doing makes a difference. And it does take perseverance.
That's why he's glad to see the Community Foundation and other partners taking the longer view in tackling what he calls a social justice issue.
It's gratifying to see the interest in a community now that wasn't there 30, 40 years ago. I think there is that coming together of all the forces that really will help make it work this time.
Scott Willis, WAER News.
For more on this and other local news stories, you can visit our website, waer.org.